Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. We'll read all the way down through verse number 8. Let's begin. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This afternoon, we approach Easter, and I'm not going to preach on the rest of that verse, but just to think about how Christ humbled himself, put himself on the cross for me, is a humbling thought. And I thank the Lord for Easter. I thank the Lord for this verse. But I am going to preach tonight about the mind of Christ and about having the right type of mindset. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll start the message. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, honestly, I've been here several times behind this pulpit. I shouldn't feel a nervousness, but Lord, I can't help it tonight. For some reason, there's an extra, Lord, I ask you to extra help me as I speak, and give me clarity of thought and speech, and Lord, help me to say what you want me to say. And I do thank you for these good folks here in this church. I thank you so much for just the unity as a church family that we can have. I do pray for our pastor as he's away. And Lord, it's just not the same without him being in this pulpit. And I do pray that as he fills another man's pulpit, as he speaks to another crowd, that Lord, you would just fill him with the Holy Spirit power, and that you'd bless him. Be with our service tonight, Lord. Help us as I preach the word of God, as it spoke to me. I pray that it would speak to the folks. And I do pray for Master's Club as they're over there, Lord, and help them to enjoy the time they have, but also to learn the truths that Brother Chad has for them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I preached a message similar to this way back when I first got here, and I'm going to kind of go back to some of those passages of Scripture with a few extra things in it. We're going to talk about the mind and what type of mind we ought to have. I don't know that I have a title for this message, but if I could pick one, it would be right there. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Having the mind of Christ. That's what we ought to be shooting for. And so we're going to talk about those things tonight. There was a man who I read a book that I picked up a long time ago, which I have no problem picking up books, okay? If you help me move in here, I've gained more since I moved here, okay? I have no problem gaining books. It's reading all of them. That's a problem, amen? There's not enough time, amen? And plus, if you're taking the time necessary to read the Bible, some of the other books that you want to read probably get pushed to the back of the list, okay? And that's how it should be. But honestly, we ought to be readers. And this man wrote a book, and I read some of it, not all of it, I don't think. And it was called The Battle. I picked it up because the title was neat. The Battle for Your Mind is what it was called. Secular guy, a Christian guy, but one that I wouldn't normally read stuff that he wrote necessarily. But he writes an interesting thing. He says, ever since God first spoke to Adam and Eve, explaining to them how to think. He did. He told them what they should do, right? He said, there's one rule, and here's what I want you to think about this rule, okay? And he said, don't eat of that tree, or else you'll start knowing things I don't want you to know. That was basically the gist of the rule. And ever since then, he told them how they can live a successful life as a Christian. And the devil's been trying to take that away from us ever since. He really has. Ever since then, every man and every woman, every child has to decide how they're going to use their mind. We'll get to what preacher's been talking about. It really works well with what pastor's been talking about. We each have a body, soul, and spirit, right? And part of our spirit, our soul is there and our body is there, but our spirit involves our heart, our mind, and our will. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But we have to sit there, and he continues to say, you have to decide who's going to control the process of your mind. Is it going to be you, or is it going to be God? Sooner or later, every human being makes that decision, and it results in his philosophy of life. Until this generation, he says, parents were the most influential force in helping a children formulate what they're going to use their mind for. That is no longer true. Modern technology has found many ways to corrupt our minds, and parents were fighting an uphill battle against the devil to control our children's minds and to help them point their minds in the right direction. There's so many beautiful sounds, colors, visual images. Millions of parents have already lost their children's minds to rock stars, atheistic, humanistic educators, sensual entertainment, and a host of other anti-God stuff that we could list. And that's true. Most of young people across America are being controlled by the thinking the devil wants them to think like, the world wants them to think like. And that's, we know that that's not true. And as Christian parents, we're trying to stop that from happening, okay? But what our mind is affected by these three things, what we see, what we hear, and what we think, okay? And that's true. And he goes on to have a, he has a pretty good book there, and it's neat. But today we're going to talk about the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about that? How are we supposed to raise our children? What kind of mindset are we supposed to have? Well, we find here, first of all, that there's a mindset of Christ. There's basically three minds that we can have. We can have a mind like Christ, we can have a carnal mind, or we can have a spiritual mind. All three of those things. Brother Young, why are there three? Well, let's look at the mind of Christ real quick, because we won't spend forever on this. Because honestly, we cannot have this mind truly until we're in heaven with Jesus. We just can't. We can strive to have it, and we should. That's what the spiritual mind is. But let's look exactly what he means. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made unto the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know, the mind of Christ is perfect, okay? That's the first thing I know about it. I know he had no pride. He humbled himself. He was humble. He was a servant. He was obedient. He sacrificed himself for me. And those are all things I would like to try to emulate. Those are things I would like to try to be. I want to be a servant. I want to be humble. I don't want to have pride. But the truth is, I will, in my flesh, never reach that. And neither will you. Until someday, Jesus comes back, praise the Lord, and he doesn't just leave and leave us here. We get to have a new body and a new mind, and that's going to be a great time. But we'll never have that mind of Christ quite like that until we're in that state. But he does command us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that tells me I can have a spiritual mind. I can try to have the same mindset as Christ did. But we're not going to look at that one first. We're going to look at the carnal mind, and then we're going to talk about the spiritual mind. The Bible does have a lot to say about how we think. Has a lot to say about how, you know, because honestly, you know, think about Pastor's illustration up here for a second. He has those three parts of our body, and then he has our mind, our will, and our heart. You know, your will and your heart are all affected by your mind, okay? The only way your heart changes is by what you see and hear, okay? Everything that we see and hear and think about is all comes into our mind. And that's how God speaks to us. That's how God's Word speaks to us. We can't know God's Word unless we're reading it or hearing it, amen? And so thank the Lord for that. You know, there's other ways people think that, you know, revelations came to them. And I'd watch anybody who says, you know, I had a weird spiritual, you know, vision. And my, okay, God might speak to some, you know, he does speak to people in dreams. I believe dreams are part of the Bible. It's all throughout there. But you got to be careful about that. In the end, what you hear, what you see even in a dream or something can be part of what God wants to give you. And so that's not the message tonight. But we are going to look here at the carnal mind. Here's what I want you to turn to, Romans 8. Go to Romans 8 real quick. There's three types of mind, a carnal mind, a spiritual mind, and the mind of Christ. We're going to focus on the carnal and the spiritual. Preacher's been talking about this through Corinthians. Through the books of the Bible, he's been talking about the parts of our body, the body, soul, the spirit, the carnal man versus the spiritual man. And the truth is, we have those two men warring at us all the time. And we cannot get rid of the carnal nor the spiritual. We can just feed one or the other. And so we're going to look today at what Romans 8, 7, verse 7 and 8 says about the carnal mind. And then I'm going to give you just a few things about our carnal mindset. And it becomes real obvious what that will do to us as a Christian. It says in verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." If you're not saved, you are not subject to the same exact laws until you get saved. You're hopeless until you get saved. Your mind cannot, you know, he talked about in 1 Corinthians, he's going through there, and he's talking about, hey, listen, as at one point, as a non-saved, unsaved person, you couldn't understand the preaching to those people is foolishness. When they hear that, you know, the logic people who aren't saved, they hear a preacher preach, to them, it's foolishness. It doesn't make sense. You know why? They have a carnal mind. And it says here, the carnal mind is at enmity. It's fighting against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, that also tells me that, you know what, I know we're talking about the unsaved person, but take that last part there, they that are in the flesh can't please God. That can be a saved person too, at least according to that part of the verse, okay? I can be a saved person and yet feed my flesh. And when I'm feeding my flesh, I'm not pleasing God. My mind is not set on things of the Lord. And so that's what we're talking about here. But honestly, folks, people who have a carnal mindset, who are unsafe, you know, they can understand some things, and they can understand some things in the Bible very plainly. God makes salvation pretty clear. God makes sin pretty clear. There are some things that any lost person can come into church and understand very clearly the state that they need to be saved. But when it comes down to preaching, to most people, it's foolishness because of their carnal mind. So listen, the carnal mind will cause you, even as a Christian, to start thinking, honestly, think of that verse, even past salvation. Yes, you might be saved. You can understand preaching now. You can read God's word. But let me ask you, how many people have we seen that were saved according to their testimony, but they walked in here and they treated all preaching just as if it was foolishness? You got to be careful how you treat the preaching of the word of God. It's not foolishness. God's word is not foolishness. But many people, the reason they come to that point in their life is because of our mindset. It's because of what are we feeding ourselves with. The carnal man is just so full that preaching is foolishness. And that's the point. And you know, many young people who reach 18, why do they up and leave as soon as they graduate high school? Well, for some reason in the last couple of years, what we haven't seen is that they've been feeding some kind of mindset in their life. Some kind of mindset, something that you might not be able to see, that I might not be able to see, but they were feeding something and their mind was not set on the right thing. And all of a sudden, everything mom and dad, everything the pastor taught just became foolish. And I'm going to go try my own thing. You know what that was? It was a problem somewhere in their mind. Number two, about our carnal mind. First of all, it's against God. Second, it's vain. Okay, we're not going to turn to every one of these, but let me just read them to you. Your carnal mind is vain. When we're thinking about our flesh, we're all pretty vain. Okay, how do I look? What am I like? It says this in Ephesians, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Don't act like a lost person if you're a Christian. "In the vanity of their mind." You know, people who, the world is full of vanity. As a Christian, I shouldn't have place for that in my life. The vanity of the world. That's how they live. You know, everything is about them. How do they look? You know, they name their publications. They name their, you know, stuff. If you read the Pilgrim's Progress, there's Vanity Fair. That stuff is vain. It's all about them. It's a carnal mindset. And Paul says there in Ephesians, hey, don't walk like the Gentiles do. You're a Christian. Quit this vain thing that you're doing. And you know what? As Christians, we still do that if we're not careful. You know what? It says in Psalms that we can have vain thoughts. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. If you love God's word, it'll help you to hate the vain thoughts that the devil wants to give you. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Be careful of a vain thought process. Let's be careful of that. I don't know that I need to preach against that specifically, but let's just be careful about it. Number three, carnal mind is defiled and corrupt. There is something, if somebody has a carnal mindset, something is causing that. You know what? When I have a carnal mindset, Brother Young, all of us have the spiritual man carnal mind. Some days, I'll be honest with you. You know who I think about? Me. I mean, from the start of the day to the end of the day, okay? And I try every once in a while to pray and stop and say, Lord, man, I'm sorry for what I'm doing right now. But you know what? The devil is so very good at it, and our flesh is so used to it. It loves to feed itself. And trust me, you know, when you go on a diet, do you like to stop eating what you've been eating and start eating lettuce? No, you don't, okay? No, you don't. All right? And guess what? The thing is, I enjoy a good salad. I love lettuce. But you know what? If that's what I had to eat all the time, my body is not going to like that. All right? Vegetarianism is not for me. All right? Praise the Lord. But, you know, my wife was, we're talking about our diet, you know, and we need to change the way we eat, you know, and I said, well, yeah, let's just cut out. You know, I told my wife, I said, listen, if you buy it and bring it home, I'll eat it, okay? The only way to change the way I eat is to stop buying it, all right? And then stop me from buying it, too, because, you know, me, us husbands, man, we go to the store, swipe that card or pay that cash, and we buy what we want. So don't send your husband to the store, ladies. You just go, you shop. The husband doesn't need to touch it because, man, us men are horrible. We buy whatever. We buy whatever we want. Maybe that's not you guys, but I know it's me, all right? And so I cannot go grocery shopping with my wife. Every once in a while we do, But I try not to do that because it's a bad formula. But anyway, I don't know where that was going, but that stuff will defile and corrupt you, amen? All that junk food. That's what we're talking about. The feeding the flesh versus the spirit, all right? So our carnal mind, listen, it's against God, it's vain, it's corrupt. There's always something in there that's turning your mind either one way or the other. What you watch turns your mind one way or the other. What you listen to, what you think about, the people you're with, the activities that you participate in. You know, can we filter everything, and are we all 100%, you know, like the Lord and how we... Well, of course not. We're flesh. But at the same time, we can do our best to make it like Jesus. That's the point of this message tonight. The heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't even know your own heart with your mind. Your mind tries to think of it. And you know what? We have a fleshly heart. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled, something's inside of them. And unbelieving is nothing pure. That's the lost. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. You know, it's sad to me, and I guess I'll read it. Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I took the young people to the ark. I'd never been there. How many of you have ever been to the ark before? I'd never been to the ark before. And if you go through one of those displays somewhere on one of the floors, they have like a scene of what they thought the pre-flood world was like right before, you know, the flood hit. And one thing struck me, and it's just extra vivid and in their descriptions and their coloring and their pictures and stuff, probably too vivid. But basically, one thing just really struck me, and it hit me as how wicked man was. They had a depiction of these people worshiping, and at this temple that they were sacrificing to was a giant man on the front with a huge snake head out the top. You know who they were worshiping? The devil. I don't know that that was true. I don't know exactly. But you don't think the pre-flood people had some type of religion? You don't think the God of this world was there? You know, God destroyed the world with a flood. It was pretty wicked. And the devil was having his heyday back then, and he got everybody. He turned so many. What happened? What happened? What happened to the righteous line? And I know God saved it. I know Noah was there. And, you know, I thank the Lord for Noah and the fact that he was called a preacher of righteousness. But just to see that picture there at that ark and to think about how mankind, God's creation, he had to destroy it because they became so corrupted, so wicked in their imaginations that he had to kill them all. And you know what? That ought to be a motivation for me as a Christian to save as many people as I can from that kind of life. You see, the world has, they may not be worshiping the serpent's head quite like they were back then, but the devil has so many avenues for them to worship him. He just does. He set up so many little g-gods in the world today that as a Christian, we ought to be motivated to go out and stop that from happening. So the carnal mind is pretty hopeless, isn't it? Yeah, there's really nothing that I can say that's fine and good about the carnal mind. Let's talk about the spiritual mind real quick and make some application. We'll be done tonight. The spiritual mind. This mind can only be attained after we get saved. You remember Preacher's illustration? You know that guy's soul, that his mind only starts switching around. Things only start getting better if he can get this flesh versus God thing in the right order. All right. First, he's got to be saved. But then also, remember all of that? I mean, he's sitting there telling, hey, listen, sometimes we get our flesh in front of our spirit and our spirit in front of our flesh. We got to keep the right mindset if we're gonna be in the right direction. Amen? And that's what we're talking about here. We can only have the right mindset once we're saved. However, because we're born with this carnal mind, we have to live with it. We must work very hard to help our spiritual mind overtake the carnal one. It's a daily thing. Every day. Not just every day, every hour of every day. Roller coaster Roger over here, all right? One day, what spiritual 1 hour, carnal the next, man. You know, stomach starts rumbling. I'm probably not thinking about spiritual things. I'm thinking about food, okay? In the morning, 8 o'clock, you know, I've just read my Bible. I'm ready to go. Everything's great in the morning, going to school, and now I need coffee, all right? You know, you got to just balance the carnal and the spiritual and keep the spiritual head, amen? There is a command in the Bible to have a spiritual mind. Let's go there. Ephesians 4, real quick. Ephesians, we're right there. We're close. We're in Philippians. Well, maybe I'm not close. Goodness. Ephesians and Philippians. Ephesians 4:22. The Bible just tells us we ought to, at some point, just make the decision to have the right mindset. Verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that's the old man we're supposed to crucify every day, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We all have them. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is your decision whether or not you get rid of the old man and renew the spirit. All right? God doesn't come down and do that for you. You have to decide and ask Him, and He will help you, of course. He's waiting to give you a spiritual mindset. He's waiting to give you truth from His Word. But you know what? We have to decide to take off the old junky clothes and put them away for the day and put on the new ones. That's what He says right here, that you do it, okay? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then He goes on and gives a whole list. Hey, we're commanded to take our carnal mind, set it aside, get a spiritual one on. It says there in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, you by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Man, I'm supposed to, you know, we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. He was humble and He sacrificed Himself for me. I'm supposed to do the same every day, but stay alive, okay? I'm supposed to be here. I'm here right now. I'm supposed to stop what I'm doing, sacrifice myself for God's will and a living sacrifice. Give myself so that God's will can be done for the earth, whatever that might be. Whether it's working a job for my family and providing for them, whether it's preaching in a Wednesday night for pastor because he's not here, whether it's out, knocking on a door after work, and I'm driving by somebody's house and I think, I know that person, I remember that person, I'm going to stop what I'm doing today instead of going home, instead of eating my supper right now. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop and go witness to that person. Hey, listen, what if we did that this Saturday? You know, even when we're done visiting, on our way home or whatever we're doing, maybe we're going to mow a lawn somewhere. If we pass by someone's house and the Lord, you know, sometimes we say, well, the Lord's supposed to speak to you. That's true. We need to be willing to be spoken to. If the Lord tells you to go, please do it. All right. But sometimes we just get our, you know, head down and we're going where we need to go. And we don't let the Lord speak to us or we don't volunteer. You know, if we know somebody on our way, let's stop this week. Let's stop this week and invite them to Easter Sunday. All right. That's a spiritual mindset. My goal is to get as many of those little tracks out as possible. Hey, that's a spiritual mindset. You know, you can decide ahead of time to have a spiritual mindset. You can decide ahead of time, you know, I'm going to carry some tracks. I don't have any in here. I took them out and put them in my Bible. But I can go ahead and say, I'm going to put some, you know, along with my mowing cards, I'm going to put tracks in the car. Okay, and wherever I go, when I go to the store, I'm going to give some. You know what that is? A spiritual mindset. I'm planning on it. I'm not just hoping it happens. Okay, if we hope it happens, it won't. All right, let's get out there and give those things. So here, God commands us to have a spiritual mind. And you know what? He always commands us. Whenever God commands something, there's always a plus side to it. You ever notice that? God tells us to do something. There's always a benefit. There's always something else on the other side of the coin. I mean, He tells you to renew your mind and present your body a sacrifice and, boy, put off the old man. But let's look at, real quick, the benefits. Romans 8, 5, and 6 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. One of the benefits of having a spiritual mind is you'll start caring about spiritual things more than fleshly things. You say, Brother Young, that doesn't sound like a benefit. It just sounds like what happens. Yeah, that's what happens. If I stop thinking about, you know, if I'm always worried about or thinking about the things of the flesh, that's what I'm going to care about. If I'm always putting my heart and my money where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, usually we think about those things. And it's not wrong. It's not wrong to think about your budget or your income or, you know, your situation in life or your finances or your job or whatever it is you're thinking about over here. But let's make sure that we swing the pendulum back the other way and start thinking about the spiritual things God wants us to think about. And you know what He says there? He says, if you'll mind the things of the Spirit, then that makes you a spiritual person, all right? I know that's real complicated, okay? Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is set on thee. Hey, listen, I like that one. The wicked don't have the peacefulness that we do, that we could have. See, Christians can be some of the most non-peaceful people there are because they have like twice as much to worry about, all right? Sometimes, if you're not careful, you're here in a church family, you hear all these prayer requests, you hear all these needs, and, oh no, I just worry about them. Well, don't worry about them, pray about them. Ask God for help with them. And yes, we need to think about them, but He says we can have perfect peace if we set our mind on Him, and that's something I want. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy what? Thoughts shall be established. How do we have this right mindset? Well, we just got to go. Sometimes it comes the other way around, right? You know, you can think about putting a track on somebody's door and never do it. All right? You had a spiritual mindset, Brother Young. Well, yeah, you didn't do it. Okay? Let's do it the opposite way around. How about I just carry tracts with me and go put them on somebody's door, and then all of a sudden, wow, I got a spiritual mindset now, you know? It works that way, probably more than the other way around, all right? There's a lot of spiritual, there's that saying, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, all right? Don't be one of those, all right? Guilty sometimes, okay? I think we all are guilty in a way. Don't be so heavenly minded, you're not earthly good. The world needs us to be out there giving them tracts and giving them the gospel, amen? Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but instruction of fools and folly. Hey, listen, we need to have a spiritual mind. We're commanded to. There's benefits to it. And how do we get it? How do we get a spiritual mind? Here's the deal. We have to do these things. First of all, we must decide to have the right mind. We must ask God for a spiritual mind. We must read his word if we're going to have a spiritual mind. We must renew our mind every single day. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, listen, I can't live on Sunday's sermon, okay? I can't live on Wednesday's sermon. And I've done it, and you've done it, we've all done it, okay? Not good for us, all right? We need to live on daily, if not more than that, okay? As many times a day as I possibly can to get that spiritual mindset. Maybe it's reading God's word in the morning in my devotions and listening to a sermon on the way to work, okay? Maybe it's listening to a spiritual songs. Boy, those help your mindset. All right, there's things that we can listen to, things that technology is more available to us today than ever before. You can listen to any sermon ever preached, pretty much. You can listen to every bit of godly music. There's no excuse not to do that. And so let's keep our minds. You know how we renew our mind? You know, I find that if I stop listening to good godly music, my mind does get stale, spiritually stale. It stops thinking about spiritual things. All of a sudden, I do get worried about things that I shouldn't get worried about because I'm not listening to spiritual things anymore, you know? I'm living off Pastor's great message last week, you know? And you know what? Hey, listen, we had a great revival last week. That stirred my heart. Remember the heart, the mind, and the will? That stirred my heart, and it stirred your heart. But do you remember any of it? We have to use our minds to remember those things. My heart can be stirred once, but my mind helps keep it stirred more than once. If I'm relying on just the stirring of my heart, then I'm only living from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday, and that's if I'm listening, okay? All right, so we got to be careful about that. The world likes to be emotionally stirred in their heart. They listen to music to stir their self, all right? And to stir their spirit. And they listen to those things. But we've got to, as Christians, apply our mind so that we can take something we already know and stir our hearts again with it. And that's a neat truth right there. You know, Brother Harding's getting ready to come preach. I couldn't help but remember, I need to go back and listen to his sermon. He preached a revival, I think it was 2 years ago here. Maybe two, something like that. Last year, year before, okay? And Brother Harding preached some good messages, but do we remember what he preached? Do we remember how our hearts were stirred? Do I think we ought to go back and listen to everybody who's coming to preach just because they're coming to preach? Maybe not. I don't know. But you know what? We ought to go back and listen to that sermon and let it stir us again before he comes and preaches on Easter, if we have a chance. And that's good for us. So let's use our minds. Don't forget last week's stirring of your heart because you stopped using your mind spiritually. Let's go back and, as preacher would say, remember he said, take Saturday and meditate on what you just heard. You know, the Bible talks a lot about meditation. I didn't read all of them. It is a mental decision to have a spiritual mind. I'll read it for you. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night. You know what that takes? A mind that wants to think about God's word. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Hey, listen, Jeremiah's heart burned because of that. All right. The psalmist's heart burned because of that. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Hey, listen, if we just walk through life as little robots and we work, and we do what God says, you know what, but we never think of it, I bet we're doing something wrong. All right. First of all, you know, robots mess up too, okay? But you know what? Listen, we got to think about what God wants us to do and think about what God has in his word. Think about how he stirred your heart here. So he can stir your heart again here. Let's not just live from stirring to stirring and come to church expecting pastor to be the only one who stirs our heart, okay? Let's just put that challenge to ourselves and stir your heart through God's help by thinking about His Word. And that's a challenge to myself. That's really, you know, last week we had a lot of great preaching. I really wanted to preach on something else tonight. I'll be honest, I'll just say that now that I'm already through the message, amen, basically. I wanted to preach on the devil. I just wanted to get up here and rip on the devil, amen. Because last week was all that revival, and there were some things that were said and some things the Lord's been working on my heart with. And decisions, of course, that I made personally, but also some things about the Lord. I just appreciated how many men got up and said, "You serve a powerful God. Why are you sitting around doing nothing with it?" I loved that. It seemed like that theme was somewhere in many different men's messages of how our God is super powerful. He wants to use us. He wants to speak to us. But you know what? He can't if we have lazy minds. If our mind isn't spiritual and if we're feeding our fleshly mind, then you know what? God's having a hard time using us if we're not thinking on spiritual things. And so, I don't know. I wanted to just preach that. It would have been great. I'm reading through Revelation right now, too, and that's making me fired up about that, all right? And it's exciting. But let's have the right type of mindset. You can have a carnal. You can have a spiritual. We're commanded to have a spiritual mind. It's a choice. We have to decide. Let me read you one or two verses, and we'll be done. Here's the deal. Let's go back to Philippians real quick. Philippians, we'll be done. Philippians chapter 2. Actually, chapter 3. We're going to skip over chapter 2. We already read those verses. Let this mind be in Christ Jesus, which was also in you. And then in verse 20 and 21, it's neat. Paul talks about he couldn't find any man that was like-minded. For everybody, verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. He said, hey, listen, I tried to find somebody who was spiritually minded who could help me out. And everybody in the church was thinking about themselves. Okay, let's not be that. When God needs our help, let's not be that person, okay? When pastor needs me, if I'm thinking about me and not him and not him, then I'm not help to my pastor, am I? If we're thinking about ourselves, being selfish, like Paul said here, he said he couldn't even find somebody who could help him with this thing. Because you know what? Everybody was too busy thinking about themselves. Look at verse chapter 3, verse 10. This, that I may know him, that's thinking, that's knowing him with your mind and your heart, and the power of his resurrection. Skip to verse 13. Brethren, I count it not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Here's the deal. He does this. Forgetting those things which are behind. Hey, listen, if you used your mind wrong, if you've done something in the past, he says right here, listen, you can take your mind and you can use it and you can forget that. Forget the things that are too late to change. Forget the things that are behind you. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's a mindset. That's a mindset of a guy who's ready to finish his race as hard as he can. Hey, listen, I'll finish this. Look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Have that mindset. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Hey, listen, God will convict you if you have the wrong mindset. That's what he's saying. But he says right there, you need to have that mindset right there. Forget the stuff that's already passed. It's too late to change what happened today. As of 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, you can't change anything else that's already happened. But you can stop, forget the stuff that, I mean, obviously don't forget it completely, but forget the stuff that God doesn't want you to remember. Forget the stuff that you could just be worried about and push forward and do what you can for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says right there, reaching forth unto those things which are before you. And he continues, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When a young person comes to school in the morning, the first thing that happens at school is goal check. Goal check. Checking the stuff you did yesterday, that is too late to change, by the way. There's not a, once that teacher grabs those paces and starts checking the goals, you can't fix them, all right? You get what you get. If you messed up, you get a demerit, okay? If you messed up 3 times, you get 3 demerits. If you mess up in the same thing for the 3 days in a row, you get 3 demerits because you keep messing up on that and we're trying to help you, all right? Brother Young, why are you talking about that? Well, listen, someday God's going to have a little bit of a goal check for us. And he's going to look over our life. But right here, you know, we're talking about just the school day here. A student comes in and they get their goals checked. Okay? They can have, their attitude is really important at that point. They get those paces back. And if it says, you messed up here, here, and here, and you have 3 demerits, it's very easy for a young person who all of a sudden has to do math now, look at that and say, man, messed up. I hate school, or I don't want to do math. And they all of a sudden, they can change their attitude from, you know, what it was when they walked in. Maybe it was bad when they got to school. I don't know. But when they got to school, they can let that one thing ruin their whole morning because they missed something in goal check. Or they can do this, forgetting those things which are behind, fix them, and press towards the prize, which is having perfect goal check the next day, all right? Having your work done. You know, some people, they go through that cycle in the Christian life. You know, you do something, and whether it be your boss at work or the Lord or your church service, and you come to church and preacher preaches and he checks on some of the goals that you messed up on, the Lord speaks to your heart and he says, hey, you messed up on that this week, or you messed up on this week. Oh, you missed your Bible reading there. Oh, you rushed through that, didn't you? And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit taps your heart and says, you failed there. You know what? He's doing that not to get you to be so disappointed in your failure, but to point it out so you can fix it, so you can move on for the Lord. What kind of mindset are you going to have? Are you going to have the, well, everybody just hates me mindset? Well, Brother Young just doesn't like me and he's picking on me, you know? Or the student, well, it's that monitor's fault that I... Well, no, it's not. You know who it was? It was you. And you messed up. And you need to fix it. And that's where I come in as the loving principal and teacher that I am. And I walk up and say, now you can take this as a learning opportunity and you can move on with math. Or you can let it ruin your morning, you know. And some of them, they let it ruin their morning and then they get in trouble. It's amazing how much more trouble you get in if you let things start building up like that, okay? Let's have the right mindset as Christians. Let's take that little lesson about goal check. As a Christian, let's do our own goal check, all right? How did I do today? Maybe take our paces, our life, and just stand before the Lord every morning and say, Lord, how did I do today? Okay, Lord, how did I do yesterday? What can I change? And I guarantee if you do that every morning, if you stop before God's Word and say, Lord, before I read your Word this morning, show me what I need to fix from yesterday or what I need to do different for today or just show me what I need for today because I don't know what's coming up today. If we'll do that, the Lord will give us that spiritual mindset that we need. You know what? We need to keep our minds centered on Christ. He says here, there's a prize someday for those of us who will stop, forget the things that are too late to fix, and fix them, of course. Remember them, fix them, and go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of mindset do we have? Do we have a spiritual mindset? Do we have a carnal mindset? Are we striving to have the mind of Christ? You know, I think some people, when they get to heaven, I'll be happy to have a new body. Amen. I'll be happy to have a new mind and all of that. That'll be great. I'll be happy to learn from what Lord has for me. But I think before we get that new body and that new mind, before we understand some of those things that we'll understand in heaven, we get to look at kind of what we had before and what we're about to get. And we get to see how we used our, you know, we're not going to get, if you're saved, you're not going to hell. All right? If you're saved, your sins are not going to be judged the same way as those folks are, but you are going to get to look at it from God's perspective. And that's going to be pretty scary for some of us, pretty scary for me. All of us will be a little bit scary. We'll probably be ashamed in some way of how we lived our life here on earth compared to what we could have done for the Lord. So you know what? We need to do that right here while we're here. Have the spiritual mindset. Romans 12:1, I'll read it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then here's the verse that follows that. I didn't read them together. And be not conformed to this world. They have a huge mold that they want you to think like. They have a huge agenda that they want you to get. And they're holding it out every day, and they're bombarding me. They're bombarding you. They're definitely bombarding our kids with media, with television, with all the stuff that the devil wants you to think about. But he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. We're supposed to be different by the renewing of our mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, listen, you want to know the will of God for your life? To have that kind of mindset. That's the will of God. And then he just keeps on showing you. He just keeps on showing you. You keep your mind set on him, he'll keep on showing you the next step. It's pretty awesome. And I can tell I've misstepped, okay? Everybody in here has misstepped in God's will when we get a carnal mind and we let our spiritual mind get hungry. And our carnal mind is rejoicing because it's being fed. Let's check our minds this week. Check what we're looking at, what we're listening to. What is it that's influencing me this week? Is it helping the Lord out, or is it hurting Him? Is it helping my spiritual man or my carnal man? Let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. And Lord, You know that we all have this issue every single day. The fleshly man is in all of us. Lord, I do pray that the spiritual man would be, that everybody in here would have a reborn spirit. I pray that they're saved. If there's somebody in here who's not saved, I pray that they'd get that settled tonight. Lord, I pray that they'd not wait. I do pray for all of us that we would decide personally that we're going to have the mind of Christ, that we're going to put off the old man each and every day, and we're going to put on the new man and His spirit. And I just pray that the mind of Christ would be our goal and our aim, and Lord, what we would strive for this week. In Jesus' name, amen.